about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Again, the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1. And it tells us these words of insight. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But they were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?'" Verses 1 through 32, Luke chapter 24. Father, once again, we thank you for the wonderful and the powerful story of your resurrection. And thank you, Lord, for loving us with an everlasting love, a love so great that you were willing to come into this world. You lived, you died on a cruel Roman cross, and 3 days later you rose up from the dead so that we could be saved and so that we could know eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful story, and more with every passing day. Help us to grow in our understanding of the need for us to live a lifestyle of proclaiming the wonderful news that you died and rose from the dead and made a way for men and women to be saved by simply accepting Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to preach this word all over the world every day of our lives. Thank you, and we praise you for the wonderful story of your resurrection. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I want to remind you once again of a new text feature that we have here at Urban. It's we want to invite you to be a part of an Urban text group. Simply text MYUFC to this number, 41411, and you can just send it to that number. Again, let me repeat it again, MYUFC to 41411. And we'll send you a text once a week. It would be simply an alert, maybe a blog, an interview, or something of importance that we want you to be aware of. But we'd like to invite you to be a part of that text group. Once again, simply text MYUFC to this number, 41411, to be a part of that group. And once a week, you will receive a text of a matter of importance or encouragement from Urban Family. Again, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family today. And as we've shared early in the week, again, want to encourage you to take time this week to read through all the resurrection stories as found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Basically, the last chapter of each of the Gospels except John. John, it would be the last two chapters, actually. But the rest of them, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, read the last chapter, which contains the resurrection story, the last two chapters in the Gospel of John. Reading through them is very important because, again, it helps you get a much beautiful, much more powerful and beautiful picture of what the resurrection story really is. Because, you know, it's one thing to get it secondhand, or one thing to get it by someone who is describing it in their own terms and their own thinking and thoughts. But it's another thing for you to read it for yourself. But also, I want to encourage every parent listening with young children, have your children to read it through as well for this reason. Because again, it's a wonderful story for children and adults to read, obviously. But also, a great thing about children is that when children read the Word of God, again, obviously God is speaking to them, but by the grace of God, His Spirit begins to stir their heart and their understanding of things, but also their curiosity is aroused as well. And children ask great questions. So as you have them to read the gospel stories, allow them to ask any questions they want to ask, and also be prepared to ask some important questions yourself that can help stir their thinking as well. So it's a good thing to take time to read them yourself. And parents, it's good to have our children to read them with us as well and talk about the real meaning of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. So don't miss out on the great blessing that your family would receive and that you would receive as you take time individually and as a family to read through the different narratives. Now, yesterday we looked at the resurrection story as found in Matthew and Mark, and today we're looking at the resurrection story as found in the Gospels of Luke and John. So here in chapter 24, which of course is the final chapter in the Gospel of Luke, but also tells the story of Christ's resurrection. And of course, something that's borne out powerfully in all the Gospels is that women who were followers of Christ were the first ones to be at the tomb after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first one to carry the message of the fact that Christ was risen was Mary Magdalene and other women as well. And so they first carried the gospel. So here as we begin the chapter, you see where they come to the tomb and find it empty. And then angels appear to them in the midst of the tomb. Notice the question, an interesting question found in verse 5. It says these words, "Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them," and these are the words of the angels, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. And so what a powerful picture when the angels ask such a profound but simple question, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Of course, they'd come there with an intention of anointing his body, what they thought would be his dead body, with spices. But of course, Christ had risen from the dead by the time they'd arrived there. And the angels are informing them of that as well. And of course, as the Gospels let us know too, they soon see the Lord Jesus Christ themselves as well. And they send word back to the disciples. Now, again, notice this, that Luke doesn't mention that John, of course, well, as you look at the different stories in the Gospels, you find different details found in different ones of the Gospels. But we'll come back. We'll come back to this important point in just a few minutes. But again, it says in verse 11, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Initially, when the apostles heard that Christ had risen from the dead, as the women told them, initially, they didn't believe them. And what a tragedy. They didn't believe the fact that Christ had risen from the dead, as he'd actually told them a number of times. But for some reason, it seemed that they were just hard to really grasp all the things Jesus was teaching them. Verse 12 says, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Then the next portion of the chapter talks of an account where two of the followers of Christ were traveling to a village called Emmaus, and it says it was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were walking and talking, and Jesus himself, after he's risen from the dead, appears, and he comes to walk with them, and of course, they don't realize who he is. And he begins a conversation asking them, what are the things they seem to be so stirred up about? And one of them turns around and responds, are you the only person that hasn't heard about all the things that happened in Jerusalem? And of course, he doesn't realize he's talking to Christ himself. And Jesus asks an interesting question. He asks them, what things? And of course, they go on to try to tell him from their own perspective what has happened. But then Jesus, in his grace, turns around and begins to explain to them what really happened with an understanding from the Old Testament of the truths found in the Word of God. And something that's very profound to do, too, is to go back, take time just to really read some of the passages from the Old Testament that clearly point out who Christ Jesus is and many things that were predicted about his coming in the Old Testament. Psalm 22 is a powerful chapter. You should go back and read Psalm 22 and find just some of the many prophecies about Christ found in that psalm. And then in Isaiah chapter 53 as well, read how accurately God used prophets to describe what Jesus would run into, what he would experience, what he would endure. So take the time to go back and read them when you have opportunity. It'll bless you a lot. But the prophets portrayed powerfully what would happen in the life of Jesus long before he came in his earthly body as the Messiah to live, to be crucified, and to rise again from the dead on the third day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to be able to read your word and to learn about the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection that you went through, Lord. And thank you again for the wonderful gift of salvation that you provided for us because you loved us enough to go through all that you went through to make a way for us to be saved. And Lord, thank you for the wonderful prophecies found in the Word of God. Thank you for how that you used David and others and Isaiah and other prophets to prophesy many of the things you would one day go through as our Lord and Savior here in your earthly existence here in the world. Lord, help us to take time to read and study them, but also to grow in our understanding of why it's important for us to take time to read about them and to learn about them. And help us, Lord, to make it a high priority, to help our children to grow in their understanding of this as well. Thank you for this opportunity. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, I'm encouraging you to take the time to read through them yourself, as well as take time to help your children to read through them as well. Of course, as we pick up after Jesus appears himself to these men on the road to Emmaus, he explains to them who Christ would be and who Christ is through the Old Testament books of the Bible that prophesy of Christ. And then at a certain point in time after going home with them, he breaks bread with them, and all of a sudden they realize, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our risen Lord. And when they realize it's Jesus, he disappears from their sight. We're looking at the Gospel of Luke, the resurrection story there. We'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
You know, if you see a huge group of people and they're all in line waiting to do something and they're all happy about it, don't you wonder, okay, what's going on? What am I missing here? Why are these people so excited? In this case, it's thousands of people doing the same thing. They're joining MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses. It's that simple. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993, so they can handle your healthcare expenses too. With MediShare, you get affordable options to fit almost any budget. For most members, MediShare is about half the cost of other healthcare programs. You should at least check into it. This may be one of those things you start doing and then wonder, why didn't I look into this a long time ago? What was I thinking? Don't miss out. You can find out more. Call 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
What does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's former Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's uncommon moment.
As Christians, we claim to be different, but too often we look as joyless and angst-ridden as if we were unbelievers. Times can get tough. I know, I've been there. But as followers and believers in Jesus Christ, if we've asked Him into our lives, we have the joy that comes from knowing that our future is with Him in eternity. Let the joy, love, and power of the God of the universe flow through you so that others see a twinkle in your eyes, a smile in your face, and laughter in your voice. Then they'll see Him, and He's the one they'll be attracted to.
New York Times best-selling author Tony Dungy, author of the popular Uncommon book series. Discover more at CoachDungy.com. That's CoachDungy.com.
Here's what you missed on Airing the Addisons.
You're going to pray for this lady, too. She is allergic to her own sweat and tears.
Really? Ooh, really? Oh, my goodness. That's, man, that's torture.
Wow.
It causes her skin to become hypersensitive to emotional stress and exercise. So
really?
If she sweats, takes a shower, or cries, she breaks out into hives.
Why does that cause emotional stress? Why is that stressful for her?
So she got to be happy, musty, and move slow.
Musty and move. Man, that's funny right there. I don't care who you are. Man. That's funny right there.
Oh, all right. Courtney, don't make her mad. All right. Leave her alone.
Tune in weekday mornings, 6 to 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Oh, this
man.
Dude right here has a master's in unintelligence.
Oh,
like, this is.
Dude, I know she's lonely.
Slow.
Thank you.
music of BB and CC Winans, the song I Owe You Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you also, one of the, I think, very important goals for all of us as we celebrate Passion Week and coming up to the day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the unique way that we do this time of year, part of the goal is that we're stirred to become much more involved in the very important work of evangelism and discipleship. And recently I was very touched and encouraged by the zeal, and actually I'm learning things from my grandchildren. There was an occasion recently where we were out in a public place in our community where I live, and they're excited about passing out gospel tracts. And we were just the three of us, my grandson, granddaughter, and I were walking down the street. They saw a woman, she and one of her children were across the street, and they're of a different religion. And one of my grandkids and granddaughter pulled away, and she wanted to run, give her a tract as well. And, you know, it made me think about the fact is, you know, that was an individual I had never taken the time to give one to. And, you know, I want to encourage and challenge every single listener to really think and pray about this. You know, it is important for us to make it our goal to share the gospel with the community in which we live. You know, it's not uncommon to find believers that have never shared the gospel to their next door neighbors or the people across the street from them. I've done that, but I need to do it more. And I've been reminded of that by my granddaughter. Again, people in my community, again, I'm to be an evangelist and a discipler to them as well. And so I want to challenge every single listener to share the gospel with those people that live on the right and the left of you in your neighborhood, across the street, down the street, and up the street as well. Again, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that everyone on your street went to heaven largely because you let the Holy Spirit use you to share the gospel with them? Let's make it a goal to do that. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to share the gospel with the people in our immediate neighborhoods. Help us, Lord, help us to become effective vessels that you can use to do just that, to spread the gospel all throughout the community in which we live. And Lord, help us to not allow being shy or fearful or timid get in the way at all, but help us to be faithful to do that, Lord, and help us to be wise enough to teach and train and encourage our children and our grandchildren to do the same thing. And Lord, thank you for the purity of children who simply just want to serve you in many instances. Once they learn what they're supposed to do, thank you for how that in the pureness of heart, often they want to do it with excitement and joy. Help us, Lord, as older believers to learn from that. Thank you for the chance to be involved in this wonderful work of the spread of the gospel. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, in concluding, looking at the Gospel of Luke, of course, Luke ends with the Lord Jesus Christ again after he's appeared to his disciples. Then he's preparing to basically ascend to heaven. And of course, as you look at the last part of Luke chapter 24, it says, starting at verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And as they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen." And of course, Luke chapter 24 kind of sets things up for what takes place in the book of Acts. And of course, the Apostle Luke is the author of both the book of Luke and Acts as well. But he sets up for what is going to take place, of course, as the Word of God teaches us in the book of Acts, chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is poured out. But in the meantime, the apostles and the disciples, the followers of Christ, are to go to Jerusalem and tarry there for a period of time. Then looking in the Gospel of John, John chapter 20, you find the resurrection story here in this chapter as well. John chapter 20, starting at verse 1. "Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb very early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. And they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And of course, as you know, if you know the story, it goes on to explain how that when she looked into the tomb, then she saw an angel. And note, too, she saw two angels specifically. And once again, the angels here in this account as well. Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him. And a few moments later, the Lord Jesus Christ asks her why she's crying as well. And she initially thinks Jesus is the gardener. And he tells him, if you tell me where they've put my Lord's body, I'll get him. And then Jesus calls out Mary's name, and he says in verse 16, Mary. She turned and said, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. And of course, here again, Jesus has an exchange with Mary, and she's had a chance to see him. And again, as we've already mentioned more than one time, that Mary is the first one to have seen the resurrected Christ after he's risen from the dead. And so a little while later, he appears once again to the disciples, and he interacts with them for a period of time and gives them the Great Commission as well. Then looking at chapter 21, John chapter 21 carries an account, an interesting account, that the other chapters don't include. But I want to say this, too, about John, too. Keep in mind, John is the one apostle who, if you notice in the Gospels, he's the only one that went to the cross. Now, the other disciples and a number of the women came to the cross while Jesus hung on the cross, but John was the only one of the 12 who was at the cross with Jesus. And while Jesus hung on the cross, he basically entrusted the responsibility of taking care of his mother to John. And John, of course, received that responsibility. But also, again, keep in mind, the fact that he was the only apostle that was there is interesting, too. Now, one thing that's unique about John is that John, it seemed, just it was in his heart to stay close to Jesus no matter what. Also, you may notice if you go back and read the accounts of Jesus' trial, again, the only two apostles that even came into the court, based on what the Word of God says, the only two of the disciples that came into the court even close during Jesus' trial was John and Peter. Well, Peter, while he's there, ends up denying Jesus three times. And, of course, he's very ashamed of that a little later on. But it seemed that John wasn't afraid of being caught, or afraid of being arrested, or maybe he wasn't concerned. His goal was to stay close to Jesus no matter what. And a very interesting thing that you find there about John was John just made it his goal to stay close to Jesus in all circumstances, to stay in a close relationship with Jesus Christ. And notice then, Jesus actually had many disciples. He had many disciples around him, but he selected 12 in particular to be his inner circle. But then he had an inner circle within the 12 apostles. That was Peter, James, and John. But then of those three, the one closest to Jesus was John. Now, some may say, well, does that mean Jesus had favorites? Well, not at all. It appeared that Jesus really latched on to John basically because John seemed to be the one that was the most desirous of staying close. And in a few minutes, we're going to look at John chapter 21. But even there, too, you find that John, for whatever reason, wants to stay really, really close to Jesus. And a very important lesson to be drawn from that is that every believer is supposed to walk in a close fellowship relationship with Jesus Christ. God doesn't just want a few of his disciples, a few of his ministers or his missionaries to be close to him. God calls every believer to seek to live in a close and intimate relationship with him. How do we do that? Well, of course, as we remain faithful, diligent students of the Word of God. One of the ways whereby we draw close to God is by being a faithful student of the Word of God. And as I often do, I like to regularly encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least three chapters in the Bible every day to help you stay strong in the Word of God, to feed on the Word of God consistently with a good basic meal. Well, 3 chapters a day is a good basic spiritual meal of the Word of God. Now, if you want more, great. You can't overeat the Word of God. But that's one of the ways whereby you stay close to the Lord. But also, as you have a vibrant prayer life, every believer is called to have a vibrant and a diligent prayer life. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking God only wants a few people to be really close and strong in prayer. God calls every believer to live a life that's filled with prayer, a prayer-filled life, the Word says in the scripture we quote typically at the beginning of the broadcast most every day. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Lord wants all of us to be in a close fellowship relationship with Him. And one of the ways whereby that happens is you really give yourself to prayer on a daily basis, praying about the details of your life, praying about your life, and praying about the ministry God has called you to, praying for your family members if you happen to be married, praying for your spouse, praying for your children, praying for your grandchildren, praying for your extended family, but praying for the world around you, praying for the work of the kingdom, praying for the needs of the kingdom, praying that God would send forth laborers into His harvest, praying also that God's Spirit would penetrate the hearts of those that are hard-hearted out in the world, praying that God would help people to walk in the love of God, the grace of God, to walk in greater obedience, praying much for many different things. And so a serious disciple is going to really spend serious time in prayer. It's not something that we simply do when a person feels like they don't have the money to pay their light bill, or when they get in trouble or pressure starts to come on them from different angles in their lives. No, we're to live a lifestyle of prayer. We're to live prayers to become the breath that we breathe in our lives. And so that's one of the ways whereby we stay close to God. Again, being a student of the Word of God, a faithful student, a faithful person of prayer who lives a lifestyle of prayer. And then finally, a believer who's living a life of obedience. You live what you learn. Don't just read the Word of God to say you've read it. It's a book of truth, and truth is always meant to be applied. You're to live out what God is teaching you. Yes, we're to be listening to the Word of God, and every day our goal is to be building on the things we've already learned and grown in, because God wants to use us more and more, and it's important that we're seeking to be used of the Lord. In looking at the latter part of John chapter 20, verse 26 says, "After 8 days, His disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then He said to Thomas, 'Reach your fingers here and look at My hands, and reach your hand here and put into My side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to Him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Now, of course, Thomas hadn't been with Him earlier, and he'd made the statement. He said that unless I see in His hands the print of the nails and put My finger into the print of the nails and put My hand in His side, I will not believe. In other words, Thomas wanted to see it with his own eyes. Now, in the truest sense of the word, you could say that's not really faith once you see it, because faith doesn't have to see. Faith puts trust in the Word of God. But now keep in mind, don't get caught up in, you know, people use the term doubting Thomas. Well, Thomas went on to be used mightily of God. He got past that disbelief and became a mighty servant of God and ended up giving his life for the cause of the gospel. And he was used wonderfully of God to help spread the Word of God in the world. So don't think that Thomas stayed a doubter. He put his faith and trust in the Lord and went on to be used mightily of the Lord. And sometimes if you struggle with doubt here and there, get into the Word and stay in the Word of God. Be a student of God's Word and stand on it. That's how we learn to get past and to overcome the doubts that may arise. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you've given us your Word, and you told us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Help us to be very, very diligent students of your Word who read and meditate on it daily and walk in it and are becoming more and more mighty vessels of faith with every passing day. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, and we'll be right back after this break.
Abraham Hamilton III.
But Abraham, the racism today is equally as bad as it was in the 1860s.
Foolishness! Racism is simply an extension of the corrupt sin nature that is inherited from Adam. Oppression, if you will, It goes all the way back to two cats named Cain and Abel.
Listen to Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 3 o'clock Central on Urban Family Talk.
Family is an institution set forth by God, one man and one woman for life, with the outflow being children produced by that union. It's obvious to all that there is an attack on the family in our country, and especially on fathers. Whether it's the cycle of sin that persists in our families or the pressure from our government to exclude men from being intimately involved, the strategic battle is on for the souls of men. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Dr. Tony Evans reminds us that sometimes God uses difficult circumstances to keep us from forgetting where our help really comes from. He'll give us an example today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
When God told Moses to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, where was God telling Moses to tell Pharaoh to let his people go to? Okay, I heard a couple of answers. Some said the promised land. He told him to tell Pharaoh, let my people go into the wilderness to worship me, not to the promised land. Why? Before God ever wanted to give him the stuff, the land flowing with milk and honey, he says, I want them to meet me before they meet my blessing. Because if they skip me and go directly to their blessing, they will get so enthralled with their blessing that they will forget the me who met them in the wilderness. That's why in Deuteronomy 8, he says, I brought you through the wilderness. I fed you with manna. I kept your shoes from rotting out and your clothes from wearing out. I did all of that when you couldn't. So now that you can do it yourself and you got your own credit card and your own bank account and your private house and your prosperity and your 401k and all the other stuff, don't forget me.
Tony has a powerful 10-message CD series on how to stay focused on priorities that matter. It's called The Eternal Perspective, available online at tonyevans.org. Check it out today. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
The tears that made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face. Till at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster and my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair.
Music once again from C.C. Winans, the song Alabaster Box. Interesting and a powerful story from the Gospels, as depicted in Mark chapter 14, of when Mary brought a box of costly spikenard and broke it over the Lord Jesus Christ. It appears that she clearly understood something that many of the others, including a number, if not all, the disciples did not understand. Jesus had to die. And Mary was doing this in preparation for his burial. So by the grace of God, she had grasped something that many others hadn't understood as of yet. Again, a powerful story from the Gospels about Mary and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, one of the depictions of this story is Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. Go back and read that when you have a chance. The final passage we're looking at is John chapter 21, the Gospel of John chapter 21, starting at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We're going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Now, let me interrupt real quick here at the end of verse 3. John chapter 21, as I said, is the only one of the Gospels that includes this story, but it's a powerful story, and I want to encourage every single listener, take time to go back and read John chapter 21, and when you finish reading it, read it again and read it again and read it again, because there are many important truths, not only about the story of the resurrection, about, you know, found in this story, but it has many important truths about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, being a follower of the Lord, many truths about how we follow the Lord, and truths that will encourage you in your Christian walk. So take time to read this chapter over and over again. There's a lot of treasure to be found in John chapter 21, picking up again at verse 4. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you've just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which, if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Verses 1 through 25, all of John chapter 21. Now, again, I want to encourage you to take time to go back and read John chapter 21 and read it over and over and over again, because again, there are many important truths about the Christian life found within this powerful book and this powerful chapter in John chapter 21. The book opens up where, again, remember, Jesus has risen from the dead at this point, but it's within the 40-day period before he ascends to heaven. And so he appears to his disciples on this occasion where the chapter opens where Peter decides to go fishing. It appears they're hungry, so they go fishing. Some of the other disciples go with him, and they catch nothing. Then early the next morning, they see someone on the shore, but they don't know who it is. And that person calls out, "Children, have you any food?" Now notice, one might wonder, why is he calling them children? Well, that should have given them a clue as to who it was. He's calling them children. Now, they might have felt a little bit odd about that, thinking to themselves, "Now, we're grown men. We're professional fishermen. Haven't caught anything, but we're professionals, you know?" And so Jesus tells them where to fish. Now, some time ago, Peter probably remembered that someone else had told him where to throw his net, and he got a boatload of fish. So he probably thought to himself, "Well, I'm a professional. I haven't caught anything, but maybe I need to listen this time." He throws the net in, catches a huge net full of fish. All of a sudden, they realize, John says, you know, it's the disciple, John, who says, "It is the Lord." And Simon Peter immediately jumps into the water, apparently swimming towards Jesus. Well, they bring the net full of fish. But when they get there, notice, when they get to shore where Jesus is, Jesus has already cooked breakfast, and it's all ready. Jesus doesn't even need all the fish they've caught. And it's probably the best fish dinner they ever had. Jesus cooked it, and it was all ready to be eaten, notice, as it points that out. And notice this. He does say to them, "Bring some of the fish which you've just caught." It almost seems like Jesus wants them to think that they're not totally useless in the situation. But he encourages them to bring some of the fish. But again, Jesus already has fish and a meal ready. And his words to him, he says in verse 12, "Come and eat breakfast." Now, in the King James Version, I really like the way it states it. Jesus' words in the King James say, "Come and dine." But a very important point for you to pick up here is that Jesus is not just talking about come and eat the breakfast I've cooked for you, the physical food. That's the invitation Jesus says to all of us about his word as well, every day of our life. You know, God doesn't want you to nibble on the word. His words to you every day when it comes to the food, the word of God is to our spirit, come and dine. Every day of your life, if you'll make it a priority to really spend significant time in God's word, the word will pour grace and power and blessing and joy and strength and encouragement into your heart and your life. You need it. I need it. We all need it. Don't just nibble on the word of God from day to day. Dine on the word of God every single day. Jesus issues that invitation to every believer all over the world. Don't just nibble on God's word. Dine on it every single day. Because God has a delicious and a nourishing spiritual meal for you every day of your life if you'll simply go and retrieve it from the Word of God. Nothing will nourish your life, will build your life, will strengthen your life like the Word of God. Why should we nibble on the Word of God when Jesus' invitation every day is to come and dine? Then as the story goes on to explain how that Jesus invites Peter, takes Peter aside. And what Jesus does is, by the grace of God, Jesus is basically reinstating Peter. Now, you might say, well, why? In what way did he reinstate him? Well, remember, Jesus has only recently denied Jesus, not just once, not twice, but three times. He told someone, one or more people, "I don't know him." So Peter has more or less basically, you might say, fired himself from being a disciple. Well, Jesus graciously is here reinstating Peter. He asks Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asks him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter responds a second time, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." And a third time, Jesus questions him, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And it says, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Now notice what Jesus is doing. He's in love and in grace reinstating Peter, but also think of it as a challenge that he's laying before Peter, but to us as well. He asks the question, "Do you love me?" And you know, Jesus asks that same question to all of us. Do we really love the Lord? If we love God, then his challenge is, then feed my sheep. In other words, love my people and give them what they need. Give them the word of God. Be involved in ministry. Every believer is called to full-time ministry in the truest sense of the word. And the ministry God has called you to is unique to your calling and your gifts and what he's called you to. But all of us are to be vitally involved in ministry all of our life. And so if we truly love the Lord, then God is saying, love my people, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep. If we love God, then we're going to love people. If we're truly walking in a love relationship with the Lord, we shouldn't say we love Jesus with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but can't stand people. Something's terribly wrong with that. Our love for God is reflected in our love for people. Our kindness towards God should be reflected in our kindness and our concern for people. So we shouldn't fool ourselves into thinking that we love God with all that we have, but we can't get along with people. If we truly love God, we're going to love people, and we're going to minister and reach out to them in love as well. And then in the final part of the chapter, notice again, while Jesus is interacting with Peter, they turn around, and behind him, they find John. Why is John following Peter and Jesus? Remember, once again, talking about the Apostle John, one neat thing about John was John made it his business to stay close to Jesus. So even when Jesus pulls Peter aside and goes apart to kind of spend some time with Peter, John is not too far behind. Why? Because John wants to follow Jesus closely. And remember, an important lesson to be learned from John is stay close to Jesus no matter what. Verse 21, Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? In other words, Peter's asking Jesus about John because Peter, too, noticed that John seemed to be unusually close. Again, it's not that Jesus has favorites, but the Bible says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. Do you want to be closer to God? Then make it your business to live in a close, intimate relationship. God will draw close to you if you'll stay close to him as well. Draw near to God and God will draw near to you. Learn from the Apostle John, who stayed close to Jesus no matter what. When the other apostles were in hiding, he was at the cross with Jesus. And here, too, he's staying close to Jesus as well. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to learn from these wonderful resurrection stories found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Help us and our families to take time to read through them, not just around resurrection time, resurrection day, but all year long. Help us to draw the grace and strength and encouragement that comes from reading and meditating on them. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.